From Spokane Public Radio, it's SPR News Today. I'm Doug Nadvornik. This is June 30th, 2026. We've just experienced a cooler than usual weekend with a little bit of precipitation, but wildfires started anyway. We'll have a roundup of the fires in Washington. Conservation groups are working to save a rare wetland in Okanagan County. Owen Henderson will have more on that effort. We're waiting for a U.S. Supreme Court decision that could have some effect on the mail-in voting systems in Washington and Oregon. Could the states be required to make changes? Hoopfest brought joy for a lot of players, but pain to others. We'll have a rundown of what medical professionals saw over the weekend. And Washington State University is using basketball to expose students to healthcare careers. Those stories and more coming up on SPR News Today. Crews took advantage of favorable conditions to stop a fire that forced people in and around Winthrop in north-central Washington to evacuate their homes yesterday. Okanagan County officials say firefighters have managed to stop the flames from advancing. They're extending the lines they have around what they've called the Hamilton Fire, and they're looking for hot spots to douse. That fire is estimated at about 300 acres. Officials had issued level 2 and 3 evacuation orders on Sunday morning. Those have since been reduced to levels 1 and 2. The West Chewich Road is still closed because of firefighter presence, and the Red Cross Evacuation Center in Twisp has been closed. State emergency officials say they'll send resources to help local crews work that fire. The state is also sending crews and equipment to two other fires that ignited over the weekend. One is burning about 1,500 acres of grass and brush near the town of Lyle in Klickitat County. That's threatening homes, farm fields, and power lines. Level 2 and 3 evacuations are in place there. And the state is sending resources to a new fire in Yakima County that's burning about 150 acres and threatening homes. Officials have ordered level 3 or go now evacuations. A coalition of conservation groups wants to buy and conserve a large stretch of rare wetland in eastern Okanagan County. And as SBR's Owen Henderson reports, the group only has a month to get the money to do it.
Bonaparte Meadows, known locally as the peat bog, is technically a calcareous fen. It's a rare type of wetland that supports a wide array of vulnerable plants and wildlife. Kate Miller heads the Okanagan Land Trust, which is leading the conservation charge.
This spring, it has just felt like we're learning something new every time anybody on our team goes out there, a new species, a new dimension to what's there to protect. So it's been quite an exciting period of discovery, even as we're running this fundraising campaign, applying for grants, and moving through the steps to make the acquisition.
If the effort is successful, Miller says the Land Trust hopes to work with the Confederated Tribes of the Colville Reservation to eventually transfer the land to their care.
Now that we're kind of coming into the home stretch here, we've started to engage in that process of reaching out to tribal members and tribal leadership to invite them to the site to begin to compile that cultural knowledge of the site and of the species present and begin to prepare for that bigger conversation about the future.
The Okanagan Land Trust needs to raise $1.5 million to buy the land as one parcel, something the late owner had wanted. But Miller says his sons have set a deadline of July 31st for the nonprofit to get the money. Otherwise, the land could be sold in smaller parcels to other buyers. I'm Owen Henderson, reporting.
The U.S. Supreme Court is expected to rule soon on a case that challenges a law that allows mailed ballots to arrive after Election Day. The Supreme Court case focuses on Mississippi, which is one of 14 states that allow voters a grace period when it comes to mail-in ballots. Washington and Oregon, though, have laws that are similar. In Mississippi, ballots must be postmarked by Election Day and arrive no more than 5 days after the election. Oregon requires ballots to arrive within 7 days. Washington has no time limit. Katie Owens-Hubler from the National Conference on State Legislatures says it's unclear how the Supreme Court ruling will affect the states that provide grace periods. She spoke recently to the Washington House State Government and Tribal Relations Committee.
And so if federal law does prohibit this practice, like Mississippi's or like some of the other states, these state laws allowing post-election day ballot receipt would likely be preempted and unlawful, at least for federal elections. And so there are some conversations happening in states that if this is the case, if this case comes down as such, that they could continue to allow post-election day receipt potentially for state and local races. And so you could have a sort of a bifurcated system in some way or another.
Owens-Hubler says an additional 16 15 states provide grace periods for military and overseas voters. In Idaho, mailed ballots must arrive by 8 p.m. on Election Day. Washington state finances may be in rocky shape next year. Officials expect a big hole in the budget, and it's unclear how they'll plug it. Our state government reporter Sarah Mises-Tan has more.
The state's latest economic forecast shows revenue in the red. Job and wage growth are down, and the war in Iran hasn't helped. Republicans say majority Democrats are also to blame.
Our problem with our budgets is legislatively created, and it needs to be legislatively fixed. It's an issue of overspending, and we need to get spending under control.
That's Senator Chris Gildon. He's a Republican on the Revenue Council. One bright spot, the state's capital gains tax brought in way more money than officials thought it would. This is a tax on wealthy people's sales of stocks and bonds. Without it, the budget hole would be bigger. State Democrats have taxed and cut their way out of shortfalls the past 2 years in a row, but Governor Bob Ferguson says he doesn't want new taxes next year. In Olympia, I'm Sarah Mises-Tan.
Another hoop fest is in the books in Spokane. It was a painful experience for hundreds of weekend warriors. MultiCare says it treated more than 1,100 people. About half received simple care, such as taping of ankles and other body parts. About 250 people were treated for wounds, 43 for lacerations. And another 200 were treated for things such as fractures, dislocations, ruptured Achilles tendons, and knee injuries that will require surgery. There were a dozen concussions, six players were dehydrated, and four were treated for blisters. Thousands of basketball players of all sizes and abilities competed in HoopFest last weekend, some prepared by participating in a basketball camp that targeted a particular demographic. For years, Washington State University Spokane has sponsored its two-week Nahashni summer camp for Native American students. It teaches kids what it's like to work as a doctor or nurse or other health professional, especially in a Native community. But attendance was spotty, so Jerry Crowshoe and his team thought there must be a better way to get more kids interested. Crowshoe is the director of WSU's Native American Health Sciences program. The answer was basketball.
Since basketball is pretty popular in Spokane with Hoop Fest and Gonzaga, all the different AAU teams and stuff, State B, we're using basketball, the trend, especially how popular it is in Indian country, to provide a camp free for families, because we know how camps can be expensive, where we combine health science teachings and basketball, so that way they get a little exposure of both. But also the health sciences contribute to the basketball itself, like doctors teach about, you know, anatomy and muscle building, nursing teaches about injury prevention, you know, speech and hearing about brain trauma, pharmacy about how, you know, good uses and bad uses of Tylenol, and, you know, correct ways and proper ways to, you know, to do those, vitamins and stuff. So every college is contributing to the intellectual component of basketball, you know, educating their minds. And then in the afternoon, we'll go over to Shaw Middle School with our partnership with Spokane Public Schools and do the basketball portion, where we have awesome coaches that'll teach them for the afternoon about, you know, dribbling and basketball and shooting and all that.
They include Jude Schimmel, a Umatilla tribal member from Oregon who played at the University of Louisville and professionally in Spain.
So obviously your timing with HoopFest 3 days away was planned and all of that. I'm guessing a lot of your kids are going to be playing in the tournament.
Yeah, so I asked that question this morning. I, you know, when they were all doing orientation, I said, you know, how many of you guys are playing HoopFest? And majority of them all raised their hands, you know. And that was kind of the pitch when we started, was like, you know, we wanted to capitalize on the big HoopFest week. You know, because even my kid who plays basketball, he kind of is done with basketball after Hoop Fest. You know, he doesn't really start up till fall. So we thought, well, we better do it in June before then. But we also kind of thought it was good to do our part to kind of contribute to, you know, that basketball aura that Spokane has and do our part. And we had to turn kids away just because of the capacity that we were at with chaperones and funding and stuff. You know, with Nahashni, you get like 20 kids, you know, for a couple of weeks. We had over 90, probably could well had well over 100 if we kept registration open.
Crowshoe says WSU is morphing Nahashni from a single summer camp into a full program that includes separate events for students of different ages.
We work with a tribal advisory board that's made up of tribal elders, tribal leaders. We work with tribes all around our area, and one of the things that they've always been consistent in asking is working younger and younger with their students. You know, like they say, you're matriculating way too late. We said, well, how early should we start working with them? They said kindergarten, and be consistent, you know. So finding ways to expose them to health sciences, you know, is really important because there's a big need for doctors and nurses in tribal communities.
And with the success of the Many Medicines basketball camp fresh on their minds, Kroshu and his team are considering other camps with sporting themes.
So doing volleyball camps in Yakima, you know, we'd love to do these camps in Nez Perce. We'd love to do these camps in Umatilla. And rather than try to bring kids in, we want to take this camp and these messages out to communities.
Kroshu says those would supplement other new developments in WSU's program, including the opening of a new Indigenous Simulation Center this fall. SBR News Today is a production of Spokane Public Radio. Reporting today was contributed by Owen Henderson, Sarah Mises-Tan, and me, Doug Nadvornik, today's host and producer. Thanks for listening. This is SBR News.